All yours, my
Thanks
friend.
Thanks very much, Ian. Well, after that build-up, I'm in big trouble, am I? No. I try not to. No, it's fabulous just to be with you on a sort of a normal day, really. And Sundays are fabulous, but this is also another normal day, isn't it, really? And I guess the subject really appeals to me because it's a biblical subject. It's there. And a third, I don't know if you know this, a third of the New Testament, the Gospels anyway, are full of healing stories. So if you think a third of what Jesus, what is recorded about Jesus speaks about healing, it's obviously an important subject, isn't it, really? And I guess what I want to say to you, I want to be very practical. I want to give some questions. I'd love us just to pray for the sick a bit later on as well. But not for you to look to me to do that, but you pray for the sick. I think one of the great things you're doing as a church is you're training people. And I'm not really convinced there are superstars in the kingdom of God, but I think there are stars. You know, he wants us all to do it, doesn't he, really? So that's kind of my purpose. So let me introduce the thing, first of all. I think if you look at this later, we don't have time tonight, but if you read Psalm 107, so you've already got Luke to read, now you've got Psalm 107. And if you read that, and particularly the verses 19 to 20, we read this: they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distresses. So basically what you find here is there's several things going down. And God is a God who saves people. Again, one of the things I love you as a church is that you place that emphasis on salvation. You know, so it's nothing's bigger than salvation, is it, really? There isn't anything bigger. That's the biggest miracle, basically. And that makes the point there as well. You know, where you're saved from the power and the penalty of sin. Completely free from it. And then he also heals people. That's what the psalm tells us. And there's a third subject, which actually not many churches teach about, and that he delivers people from demonic oppression. Now, sometimes the healing and the deliverance are one and the same thing. Other times, they're completely different subjects. Now, I'm not here to talk about demonic oppression. I'm just here to talk about healing here tonight. But I want to say to you that I really believe largely the church in the West, so we are part of that, is more confident in delivering words than it is in praying for people to be healed. Our sort of history is that's where we feel more confident. I mean, the word of the God is powerful, but that Jesus ministered to people and they were impressed with his teaching. They were amazed, you know, great teacher, good teacher, they called him often. You know, and he teaches with authority. They were amazed at his teaching. But by and large, they didn't just come to hear him teach. The trigger that really came, caused them to come, was they're expecting him to do something. And it was usually for them as well. You know, their motivation was quite selfish in some ways. You know, look, I'm coming to you, good teacher, because you can actually do something about my condition. It's that obvious, really. And I think it's that relevant for us as well, isn't it? So here's our subject. I'm going to try this. There's that thing that's there, isn't there? So, hey, well, come on. Let's look at the biblical basis, first of all. And I'm just going to run very quickly through the Old Testament. I'm not going to go through everything. Otherwise, we'd be here forever. But here's some verses you might want to take down. It's in God's character to heal, first of all. You know, God's got many names. You know, you and I may have three, unless you're unfortunate and your dad called you after Middlesbrough Football Club or something like that. But usually we have two or three or four at the most. Well, God's got loads of names because one name cannot fully describe him. It doesn't do him justice. So he's holy, which is like the umbrella name over everything, but he's got loads of names. And in one of those we find here, I am the Lord who heals you. He is Jehovah Rophi. So I am the God who heals you. So right in the very nature of who God is, his very character, he tells us he is a healing God. And all the way through the Old Testament, we find God's promise to bring healing and health to his people, and that usually is conditional on them obeying him. That's what it is. So here's an example, Exodus 23, 25 to 26. It says, "Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land." But if you notice there, the condition was that them actually being in covenant with him and obeying him as well. So blessing usually follows obedience. It really does. But we find there, "I will take away sickness from among you." It's a promise that reflects his nature, because that's the God he is. And all the way through, there are lots of examples, but perhaps one of the most striking is the healing of Naaman, who's an army commander. He's not actually one of God's people. This is what intrigues me, because you can never put God in a box. He works in mysterious ways. Don't be a church that prescribes things. Just describe. Don't prescribe. Don't tell people what they should be doing. Tell people what they should look like. It's much better that way. And basically, we find here Naaman, who's not a God-fearer, he's got leprosy, and he'd heard that basically his leprosy could be healed. And you can look at all the background of that. It's very interesting. And it's about gossiping the gospel, really. And he had to humble himself. So he came before the prophet, God's spokesman. It could have been you or I, because we're God's spokesman, aren't we? We're ambassadors. Hello, ambassadors. We all live in slightly different residences, but we're all ambassadors of Christ. We have the ministry of reconciliation that's entrusted to us. And so he humbled himself before one of God's spokesmen. You know, here's a guy really having to humble himself because he was a big dude. And he was told to go and dip himself in public 7 times in the river, which is a pretty humbling thing to do. But he did. And we're told this in 2 Kings verses 5, chapter 5, 14. His flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. One of the things about the Bible, I'm sure you've found that already, is its descriptive language is amazing, isn't it? It doesn't just say he was healed. I mean, that would have done for me. He was healed. Leprosy went. But we're told he became clean. That's okay. But what sort of clean? Well, clean like that of a young boy. Hold on, you must know different young boys to me. They're normally dirty. No, but he was clean like a clean young boy. Do you catch what I'm saying? So the Old Testament is teaching us a lot here. It's consistent with God's character, and it's through the Old Testament. And then we come to the ministry of Jesus, and then the disciples, and then church history. Let's look at the ministry of Jesus. I've already told you that a third of the Gospels are to do with individuals or groups of people being healed. In other words, it's a normal part of the kingdom of God. It's a normal activity of the kingdom of God. Did you hear that? It's normal. It's not abnormal. Abnormal means it rarely happens. Normal means we expect to see it regularly. That's what it means. And so we find this, that in Matthew 4:23, Jesus went throughout Galilee. Here's what he did. He taught people in their synagogues. He preached the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is among you. It's not promised. It's not distant. It's not far off. It's not 28 miles from where you are. It's right among you now. It's here. And he also healed every disease and sickness among the people. And you see, being around Jesus wasn't boring, was it? It was the exact opposite of being bored. So he taught, he preached, and he healed. And you can find that consistently. I mean, I haven't got time to go into all of that, but you're reading Luke's gospel. It's a fabulous gospel Any gospel will tell you the same thing, but it's full of healing stories. Enjoy them. As you read through it, say, God, speak to me from these passages. Speak to me. And really what it's saying is, it's normal. It's normal. Hello? Is it normal? It's normal. Okay? And then you come to the disciples. And I love the disciples because they could be me and you. You know, usually they're out to lunch, aren't they? You know, they're behind the action. They're always playing catch-up, aren't they? Have you noticed that? Can you identify with that? You know, we think we're so clever and we're with it and we're big spiritual people. You know, we're the disciples. You know, we're learning. And we're a bit slow. And we go, duh. And we're often the people most surprised as well. And he said this to his disciples. This is what he commissioned them to do. So if Jesus is commissioning, this is pretty important. He says, Matthew 10, verse 8, heal the sick. I mean, I'm just tempted to stop there because it gets harder. It says, raise the dead. Now, we've already heard of that. That's an amazing story, isn't it? I didn't know that story. Raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. What are you doing today? Oh, I'm going to heal the sick. I'm going to raise the dead. And it says, freely you've received. I mean, that's quite a light comment, isn't it? You've received this very freely. Hey, I've paid the price for you. You know, all you brought is your sin to this deal. You've freely got it. Now freely give it away. So don't treat it like savings that you, oh, I've got to spend my lifetime. And finally, when you get your big savings, you just keep it in your account and you're so stingy.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of that. It's freely, you've got this. Now freely give it away. Amazing grace. Go and spread amazing grace everywhere. Go and spread it everywhere. So the disciples were commissioned to do that. And what it wasn't just to the 12. He then, a little bit later, what I like about Luke is that it's the next chapter, actually. There was also a further group of 72, or 70, depending on the documents. But he told them to go out and heal the sick. He told them exactly the same. So he commissions 12. Now there's 72. Guess what, 72? You're going to do this. Heal the sick is always on near the list. It's right near the top. So it should be in our church. It should be in our DNA. It should be happening regularly. You know, some people say to me, do you have special Sundays when you pray for the sick? No. No. You know, and I'm challenging myself. You've got to keep on your toes on this one. You really have. Come on to that more later on. Are you catching the flavor? So, because the kingdom of God is near. So he expects his disciples to do the same as what he did. Go and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And right near the top of the list was heal the sick. So I think it's fabulous. Not many churches do this, that you've got one of your few subjects, because if you start doing a course, you're restricted to what you put in it. But you've chosen, your leadership have chosen to put healing as one of the subjects. I think that's fabulous. It reflects the Bible. That's what it's doing. So therefore, if it reflects the Bible, God's going to bless you because you're reflecting what he wants to see happen in the world. So it's wonderful. And then the early church, just listen to this. Here's a man called Origen. Don't worry if you don't know anything about him. We're told this. Christians, he writes, Christians expel evil spirits and perform many cures. He says the name of Jesus can take away diseases. Augustine, in 354 to 430, he writes, even now miracles take place in the name of Christ. And then in his letter, he gives an example of a blind man who received his sight when this man visited Milan. I mean, that's very contemporary, isn't it? That really is. You know, we just got back from Bulgaria. What did you do? Well, we saw a blind man receive his sight. It's wonderful. And then I just want to show you this one here. This is Edward Gibbon. Famous for writing about the kind of early history of the country. He said the Christian church from the time of the apostles has claimed an uninterrupted succession of miraculous powers, gifts of tongues, vision and prophecy, expelling demons, healing the sick and raising the dead. So he's saying that this has happened throughout church history. That's what he's saying. If Jesus did it, and he wants his church to reflect what he does, then are we surprised by that list? We shouldn't be surprised, should we? Because that's what he went around doing. That's what he gave himself to. So, just whetting your appetite here. Jesus said this in John 14:12. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me, anybody here fit that description? Will do what I have been doing. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. That's why we're called Christians, because we look a little like Jesus. It's a nickname given, wasn't it? You know, they look like Christ. They follow him. You know, it was a Mickey-taking name. But actually, it's a reflection of what Jesus does. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And really what he's saying there is we can never do anything greater in quality than what Jesus did. We can't. It's impossible. But because in his body, human body, Jesus was restricted by being in one place at one time. Now he's ascended and he's with the Father and his Holy Spirit's come to be him in Christians, then the amount of miracles taking place can multiply because he does it through us. So it's a normal Christian life. That's what we're talking about. I don't know if you came into this, A61, I like that, thinking this is not for me or this is just for the super Christian. No, this is the normal Christian life. It is. It's for everybody here. And so I want to encourage you right from the beginning to regularly pray for the sick. Regularly pray for the sick. You know, and I think it was wonderful, having been here two Sundays previous to this. I mean, I don't know, there must have been 25-plus people being prayed for, wasn't there, that night? Which is fabulous. So you need people to pray for the sick. But it hasn't just got to be on special Sundays. It can be with your next door neighbour. Yeah. It can be in sort of ordinary, everyday life, really. I mean, you need to explain what you're doing. You need to ask usually for permission. But you can pray with a lot of people. I rarely find someone say, no, I don't want that, thank you very much. Yeah. It's very interesting, isn't it? Usually the problem is me and my boldness. So it isn't greater than what Jesus did. It's actually a greater number. So let me just give you these little thoughts here. I'm just setting a bit of a background for you, first of all. So this is not fully right because there's a limit to my computing skills here. But I mean, if you think right from the beginning, from the beginning of creation, right through to the cross, there's always been healing. Surprise, surprise, no, because it's in the very nature of God. So it went a bit more like that. But it's always there. It's not like 100 years where it's missing. And then with the coming of Jesus, the kingdom of God activity kind of increased. And miracles took place. And all around that time, you know, with Jesus, with the early apostles, they definitely increased. But what I want you to take note of is it's been going on consistently ever since. But here's the really amazing news. The period that we're now in, say the last 20 years, maybe the last 30 years, but definitely the last 20 years, and most certainly the last 10, there's more happening than ever before. And seminars like this that I used to listen to, you know, the stories you told were of healings in another country. Yeah. Now people in other countries are telling stories of healings in England. Oh, Isn't that encouraging?
Yeah, very.
I mean, that's where we are. And it's just helpful to get that context and framework. Because not only is it biblical, but it's also happening in greater proportions than we would understand, really. So if ever it's a time to step out of your comfort zone and pray for someone, you know, it's today. It really is today. Still setting the scene here. I want to now look at two examples. Going to get you praying for each other at the end. But first I want to lay some foundations. If you've got a Bible, you may want to turn to it. Matthew 8, verses 5 to 13. I'll just read it to you. It says, when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, interesting, he called him Lord, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. And Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. He didn't say, I'll think about this for a minute. He didn't say, I'm busy. He said, I will go and heal him. And the centurion replied, Lord, I don't deserve to have you come into my house. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. That's an amazing statement. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and guess what? He does it. He knows what it is to give authority out. And when Jesus heard this, this is an amazing statement, he was astonished. I mean, what does it take to astonish Jesus? It's a big statement. And he said to those following him, I tell you the truth. Jesus always says things like that, doesn't he? He doesn't ever say, I tell you a lie. He says, I tell you the truth. I haven't found anyone in Israel with such great faith. You see this geezer here? Look, he's got such faith. I've never seen anybody with as much faith as this man's got. That's really what he's saying. It's quite an incredible comment, actually. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness. You guys recognize that this man I've just elevated, he's not one of us, is he? He's a stinking Roman. And you're finding this hard to swallow, aren't you? Because I'm saying he's got more faith in Yahweh and in me than you have. So he's really challenging people. He's right in their face. And Jesus said to the centurion, go. You know, it's like, oh yeah, what was I doing? Oh yeah, healing your servant, wasn't it? He says, go, and it will be done just as you believed it would. You mean, is that it, Jesus? You mean, that's all it takes? Are you sure? How do I know? Are you kidding me? Is it April the 1st? No, just go. And his servant was healed at that very hour. You see, this man who was held up for having great faith, exercised faith by doing what? By believing what Jesus said. Okay, I'll go. He went, he got home. Opened the door, gave his wife a kiss, put his arms around his kids, and said, how's the servant? Oh, he's up, he's better. Oh, when did that happen? Oh, man, that's exactly when Jesus said. Yeah. Isn't our God amazing? Yeah. Do you catch that story? You see, the servant was paralyzed. I mean, don't hear me wrongly. This isn't just a small little thing. Now, God is interested in small little things because it's big to us. But this is a major thing. This really is a major illness. And God healed it with a word. But faith was required. Do you notice that? And the centurion, where did he place his faith? In Jesus. In Jesus. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? Something strange happened to me last Christmas. I got a little box from somebody in our church. And he said, Mike, that's your Christmas present. I thought, stingy. And the, you know, I tried to look excited. Oh, thanks. Got it home. I couldn't even find anything in the box. You know, not only was the box small, but what's in it? Nothing. And then I suddenly noticed, tucked in the corner, was this little seed. And it's a mustard seed. I've heard about mustard seeds. I've never seen one. You know, in that small box, it was hard to find. And God really nailed me. He said, Mike, your faith sometimes is hard to find. But you know what? I only need a little bit like that. Because I'm the one that does it. How encouraging is that, isn't it? You know, don't get this concept in your mind that healing takes place, you know, when, you know, you wake up in the morning and Superman appears. And you can do anything. You know, you've listened to your rights. You've just listened to the God channel. You know? No, it doesn't work like that. It just requires a very, very small amount of faith in somebody hugely, greatly amazing. And he does it. He does it. Isn't that encouraging? Poor. Let's look at another one. Just two one here. Just two I'm looking at here today. I love this story. It's the healing of a deaf and mute man. For me, it's like this is a job description of an evangelist. He's called to open people's ears who don't know Jesus. And he's called to open the mouths of frozen rivers that are sometimes described by us as Christians. But that's a separate story. It says, then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the 10 towns. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. This is the guy. It's a serious condition. And they begged him to place his hand on the man. Jesus, in this particular instance, took the man aside. That's very interesting, isn't it? He rarely did that. Away from the crowd. He put his fingers into the man's ears. And then he spat. And he touched the man's tongue. And he looked up to heaven with a deep sigh and said, be opened. Okay, it's just one word. One word. That's the amazing power of Jesus. He does something unusual, but his authority is exercised by one word. It's two in English, but it's one in his language. Be opened. And then, I mean, that takes your breath away, but this then takes your breath away even more. The man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. It happened. It happened. And then Jesus commanded them not to tell anybody. I wonder why he did that. Because he knew they would. He knew they would. But the more he told them not to, the more they kept talking about it. Hey, don't tell anybody. You know, what's the best way to get the news around? You mustn't say anything about this. Don't tell anybody. And it goes, isn't it, like that? See, Jesus was great. He knew what it took. He knows what's inside us. And people were overwhelmed with amazement. See, again, they weren't amazed this time with Jesus' authority and ability in teaching. They often were. But here's an instance where they were overwhelmed and amazed at his authority to heal. He is the head of our church, isn't he? Has he changed? And we can do greater works, not in quality, but in quantity. And what's required from us? A mustard seed's worth of faith. That's all that's required. And I'm thinking, wow, do you know what? I think I can do this. Little old me, I think I can step out of my comfort zone. And I think I can pray for someone in the name of Jesus and be healed. Do you remember that first moment when you did that?
Yeah.
Isn't it still like that when you pray with people?
Yeah.
If someone says it isn't, they're lying.
Yeah.
It's like that all the time. It's wonderful, isn't it? Let me just give you some things. This is the kingdom of God. I find this fascinating. There's a whole range of Christianity from kind of liberal over here. You know, there's no authority with Jesus. It's liberal. You know, it's just some of it's God's word, some of it isn't. No, I don't really believe it. To right over here, you know, the conservative, I believe the Bible, but don't ask me to love people. Look happy? What does that mean? Care for people? Nope, but I know what I believe. You've got that whole spectrum. But just about everybody would agree with these things. There's a creation and a beginning point. There's a waiting for the kingdom of God. It happened when Jesus came. And there's going to be a second coming when he will come and the fullness of the kingdom will come in. That's what everybody believes. I haven't surprised anybody here tonight so far, have I? Okay? All right. Okay, this is the classic liberal view, where the period that we're now in, we're still largely waiting for the kingdom of God, and there are even some people who think, going to be waiting forever. And it's not going to happen in our lifetime, and what is going to happen? And there's, you know, and it fills you with zero hope for the future, really. Because if you start disbelieving the Bible, you've got zero hope for the future, haven't you? And for today. You know, please don't let anybody ever undermine your faith in the Bible. Even if they pretend to be academics and clever. So here, this is the classic, what was called the cessationist viewpoint. And so these are people, and I grew up, this when I became a Christian, when I was 19, 20, this is what I was told. This is what people who I loved, and these guys helped me greatly, and they were doing evangelism, but they told me that all the gifts of the Spirit and all the gifts of ministries, like apostles and prophets, they died out in the first century. That's what I was told. So, speaking in tongues? What's that? Didn't know what that was. Baptism of the Spirit? Out to lunch. Not a clue what that meant. And so, in that few years of when Jesus came, you got a taste of the kingdom of God, but in some ways, it's just like the liberal position. Right now, we're still largely waiting for it. You know, like waiting for a bus that will never come. No point in having a ticket, actually. Because it's not going to come, is it? And if it does, there's no expectancy of what's going to come anyway. Am I helping you here? But right, and I can give you many more, but I won't. So I'll just bore you rigid. But here's what I would call a healthy view. So in the period where we now are, in the 2014, we've been here for a long time, but this period that we're now in, the kingdom has come. Jesus didn't come and say, the kingdom is far away. His revolutionary comment was, the kingdom is among you. It's near. And he demonstrated that by healing the sick. And God wants us to be firstly aware that we're living in an age where the kingdom has come. The church is the vehicle for bringing in the kingdom. But the church isn't going to turn the world upside down. It's the kingdom that's going to do that. It needs both. You want people to belong to a church because they'll never really grow properly. You don't want to just be conference followers, where the latest buzz is. You want to be rooted and grounded where you belong, with people that love you and you love them. But you also want to be bringing the kingdom in as well. And so there's an expectation. There's more happening now than there was yesterday. And if you look at that graph, we're living in a stage where in the last 25, 30 years, and particularly in the last 15, there's more happened in my lifetime than I've ever known about. In the UK, I'm talking about. In secular, hedonistic, we don't care a monkey about Jesus, UK. God is working there like that. Come on, isn't that encouraging? Yes. You see, so that's a healthy view, I think. And I want to encourage you. So, wow, we haven't got all, it's not going to all happen. You know, when it comes there, there's no sickness, there's no death, there's no war. Wow. I mean, I'm not going to be ill. You can't get your head around that, can you? I'm not going to age. I'm not going to limp. Wow. There's no crutches. Wheelchairs. Remember them? No, it's actually the kingdom of God. It's wonderful. It fills you with hope. And the kingdom of God coming in all its fullness gives you a perspective right now as well. I could go on and on about this, but that's not my subject. So, let's come back to our subject. Here's four quick foundations I want to give you. One, healing is one of the signs that God has come. Okay, so if you're telling people that God is amongst you, guess what we should be seeing? Not more people having a cup of tea. I should be seeing that as well. But actually, it's more people being healed. You just need to help me.
Yeah.
Is that what we're expecting?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not asking you to be un-British now. But, you know, just one of those Churchill nods of the old dog would be helpful, really.
Oh,
yes. Sorry, thanks. Are we expecting this, guys? Yeah. Is that what you're expecting? I have to remind myself of this pretty much every day. I have to remind myself of this. Because truth sets me free. And truth gives me hope. And obedience brings blessing. And God's promise happens. So we're not expecting the full thing, but we are expecting an awful lot right now, in the here and now. In the here and now. And that gives me confidence to say, I'm stepping out and I'm going to pray for the sick. It does me in my own personal life, one-to-one. I'm not talking about now just doing this with Christians. Do you catch what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right? So that's the first thing to say. Okay, second thing to say is this. Our commission is to heal the sick, not pray for the sick. They are two different things. Come on, Mike, explain what you're talking about. Of course we pray, but you can pray with no expectation, can't you? Can you? Did you notice one of the common ingredients that was required there was faith? So we have to pray with expectancy. It's very, very important. And there's just some examples. There were times when Jesus healed everyone. Cool. Have you ever been around a time like that? I've been in places where most were healed, but not everyone. And I tell you, most was thrilling enough. Man, that was exciting. Sometimes he heals specific people and not others. Oh, that's a strange one, isn't it? But don't you find that? Don't you find that? And Jesus always does what the Father is doing. He's not on his program. He's sovereignly under the authority of the Father. And Father, what is your will? Let your will be done, not mine. It's just kind of helpful and challenging, I think. So I'm coming to you right now at a time when, down our road, several people are seriously ill. Good friends of ours in our church, those are non-Christians down our road. But in our church, two people have just returned, having watched their daughter die very painfully. Now, she came back to God in that process, but she died very painfully. Do you catch what I'm saying? Okay, I'm just being real with you. So you've got to be real. Jesus is real. One of the many reasons I love Jesus is because he's real. He really is real. But he does what the Father is doing. So here I am, coming to teach you about healing, when all that is happening around us. You know, and one of our very good friends, who was in Darlington while we were in Leeds, they moved to Leeds. 2 years later, we didn't know, but we moved to Darlington. But she's literally dying right now. You know, she's seriously ill. Got two kids. Now, are we believing for a miracle? Yes, I am. But I also know this, there's a time to die. Did you hear that? Is that lack of faith? No, I don't think so. Come on, tell me. Come on, all of you tell me.
No.
Okay, all right. Okay, you've got to live in those tensions. To look at a subject like this, you've got to live in those tensions. Why? Because we live in the not yet. This present age, we're living in. And there's a promise that the invasion of the kingdom of God is in this present age, but it's not the full invasion. So we won't see the full Monty. But we see an awful lot. I'm just trying to be honest with you. Phew. But it's nevertheless, having said all that, when it comes to pray with people, whether it's on a Sunday evening, and if you've never prayed with anybody, and you get into the healing team, the ministry team, you can pray with someone every Sunday, can't you? That's what I love this church for. You know, you haven't got to wait a year. You can pray with someone. But I want to say this to you. When you come to it, don't just pray for the sick. Expect the sick to be healed. That's what I'm saying. Are you understanding that? Okay? Some of those frowns are gone now, I can see. Third one, faith is an important element. It really is. In fact, I would say nothing happens without some faith there. But notice where the faith can come from. This is the amazing thing. It can come from the one being prayed for. You know, what did Jesus say? Seeing their faith. Okay? Sometimes the one being prayed for has got faith. Other times, it's the one who is praying. I remember praying for this man called Lawrence many years ago when I lived in Brighton. And I'd just been in charge of this Billy Graham meeting, video link. And these people had come forward. And then I did something naughty at a Billy Graham meeting. I said, we can now pray for the sick. And I like being naughty. But I like being biblically naughty. That's a better way of putting it. And we prayed for lots of people. And I was cream cracker. I was done in. And Lawrence was right at the end, and he's a bit of a character. I know him. He was from the church I used to be in. And I looked at Lawrence, and I thought, oh, no. And it's Lawrence. You know, and I've just been honest with you. And I had no faith at all to pray with him. And he told me, hello, Mike, he says, I've got all these ulcers on my legs. Do you want to see one now? I'll just put a bandage back. We're in the south of England, remember, okay? And he... I said, no, it's okay, Lawrence, it's fine. Listen, who had the faith then? Not me. It wasn't me. But he had some. He went to the doctor the next day, The doctor peeled back the bandages and there were no ulcers there whatsoever. He said to me next Sunday, he said, Mike, do you want to look at my non-ulcers now? I said, I'd love to. Thank you very much, Lawrence. But it wasn't my faith. Do you catch that? Yeah. Right, so there'll be moments when you're praying for the sick and actually, for lots of reasons, you've run out of juice.
Yeah.
Okay? And you haven't got any faith. But faith needs to be there. Faith needs to be there. And the third place it can happen as well is in some other person. And so, beginning of Mark's Gospel, isn't it? That there's the man being carried to Jesus. They couldn't get in the door. They went on the roof, got the old pneumatic drills out, went through, and Jesus said, seeing their faith. Well, who had the faith? Most probably, well, it may have been the paralytic, the sick man, but it definitely was his friends. If they had no faith, they would have turned around when they couldn't get in the door. So you've got to have faith. I don't want to push this too hard. And then, I want to just say something about strongholds here. That not every sickness is demonic in origin. For instance, the woman with the issue of blood. You know, so some people approach sickness as, every sickness is demonic. Therefore, rebuke and you'll be healed. I personally struggle with that. There are moments where it is demonic and you have to do that. But that's why you need the Spirit to guide you. But in most, I would say most conditions aren't like that, actually. I wouldn't want to give a percentage because I don't know. But the woman with the issue of blood is an example. But some are. And there's the mute man that we've read, isn't it? And also the boy who threw himself on the fire. That's the clue, isn't it? That's not normal. You see? That is the clue. Yeah, God knows how thick we are. And he gives us real clues. You know, you can see the Trinity talking. Let's make it easy for them at our seminar, shall we?
Yeah.
And then, you take authority over the particular spirit of infirmity. Okay, so if it is demonic, you take authority over it. Okay? You haven't got to shout. But you haven't got to pray for 10 minutes. I take authority over you now. I bind you in the name of Jesus. That's it. Done. But you've got to have faith as well. You've got to have faith in the authority that you've received. You've received that freely, remember? And you freely give it. And if you don't learn to give it away, then not much is going to happen around you. The Christian life is to be given away. And then you get more. That's what I've learned. You get more to do. So, let's just wind all this up. When I first started, from that cessationist viewpoint, and I spent most of my life just preaching the gospel, and then I was provoked. I remember meeting Martin and Stuart. We used to meet in York Station and places like that several years ago. And I think I provoked them, actually. But someone provoked me. That's why I provoked them. And now they provoke me. Because you can be ahead of each other or behind each other all the time. And this was a lady. I didn't even know that she was going to be in the church that we're now in. And I went to preach the gospel, and I was encouraged to pray for the sick. So I'm stepping out for the first time, and the people are coming to be prayed for. And we pray for Margaret. And Margaret was healed of diabetes. Just wonderful, wasn't it? So what I'm now going to encourage you to do, I'm saying this not to impress you, because I'm not very impressive. It's Jesus. My mustard seed of faith is in the great man. See the great man there? Jesus, the Lord Jesus. That's where our faith goes. But I wrote her name down in a book. That there was nobody else in the book. Did you catch it?
Yeah.
It was a blank book.
Yeah.
It had zilch in. And this is one of the first people. I thought, wow, God, you've touched her. I need to put her name there because I know what I'm like. Because I'm going to think, oh, God doesn't heal. And the devil's going to say to me, has he healed anybody recently? You know, it's Monday and it's raining. And, has he healed anybody recently? Oh, look at my book. Mike, just it's like a mirror. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you see that? And then this lady, Marissa, she's from in Newcastle, and Ed was in Sunderland. Marissa was healed, and her ear just popped when we prayed for her. First one I've seen that her ear just popped. I was like, you know, I was like a little kid. And, you know, it's like I was like a wound up. And I put her name down, and she could hear. She couldn't hear out of that ear. And then Ed, you know, I just felt God gave me a word about, I can still remember it now, about severe indigestion. Because we all have indigestion at times, don't we? This is severe. And he came up to me and said to me, look, I have umpteen packets a day. You know, this was severe. I mean, unhealthy, I would say. And he was cured that day. Didn't know for a few weeks later, but he was cured. So he went in the book. Do you catch what I'm doing?
Absolutely.
Part of your exercise and homework, guys, is this. Sorry to mention that horrible word. Is to start a book. Start a book. Have faith for your own book. Because your book becomes this very quickly. And I mean, that's, you know, there's... I'm just trying to tell you how one name can go like that. Do you catch what I'm saying? This was maybe over a period of, at the most, 6 months. Okay, now I get to speak in quite a few places. But the point is this. I had never prayed for the sick before that. Because it's just word, isn't it? Because I was wrong, actually. I was wrong. You've not won the fridge. I was wrong. See, you've got to line up with the Bible. That's what I'm encouraging you to do. That's your homework, guys. And then finally, now we're going to start praying for people. Okay? What do we do? You've heard something. This is what I'm talking to you. I'm not saying, here's a prescription. I'm saying, this is what you're looking for. These are some helpful things. When you're praying with someone, keep your eyes open. You know, you don't pray for the sick like this. Oh, sorry, bumped into you. You have your eyes open. I'm just being obvious, isn't it, really, eh? Sometimes you can see God on people. You think, wow, well, you know, the first time I heard that is, what are you talking about? You know, have you got some kind of weird specs? What are you talking about? God's all over this person. Well, because of things like that, people don't pray long, repetitive prayers, guys. It's usually a sign of your lack of faith or mine. Isn't that true? Okay, here's what to do. First of all, talk to the person. So just supposing there's people coming up tonight up here and you're going to say, I'm going to pray for you. Or Sunday evening or Sunday morning, whenever it is. Or it's just on a one-to-one. Now, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Now, at this point, you might need to tell people, just speak in English, please. I don't want any Latin or medical terms, or I'm not asking you to throw 82 giants at me right now and just kill that mustard seed of faith. I want you to know my problem's in my knee. That's all I need to know. I don't want to know it's called spondylitis, musculitis, rhubarbitis. I don't need to know that, okay? Because all that does is kills my faith. And I'm struggling to find some anyway. What's the problem? That's what you say. All right, where are we? Oh, you can't hear. Okay, that's cool. Don't have a long conversation. They can't hear. You might say, is it in both ears? No, it's just in one ear. All right, which ear is it? Because it's helpful to pray for the right ear. Okay, so you've got to have a conversation. I'm just trying to really help you. Then command the pain and sickness to go in the name of Jesus. That's all it is. Command it to go. Then here's the most difficult thing to do. Ask what's happening right now. That's the most difficult thing to do, isn't it? Yeah? Has that been helpful? Okay. So, come with me to this place here 2 weeks ago, Sunday. And we prayed for a lot of people. And then Dave came over to me. Dave had already been very helpful. I'd never met you before, Dave, had I? And Dave had been very helpful, as you guys always are, and did the IT type thing. And it was great. And he explained to me that about his headache, blah, blah, blah. Dave, just, have you told everybody what happened?
Yeah.
You have? Okay, all right, that's good. We don't need to do it.
No, not every, do it. Can you tell us?
Yeah, come on, do it now. Because I'd like to hear.
Use that mic, Dave.
Many of you know, I think it was mentioned at church one week when I wasn't here. And for about the last 5 or 6 months, I've been having really, really bad headaches. And it was getting to a point where it just felt like I just felt sick and just debilitated kind of thing. And spending 3 or 4 days in bed every week. And like you said, I wanted so much to come forward for prayer, and there was so much going on, but I was determined I wasn't going to miss out. So I just wanted to pray for me at the end, and went home that night feeling quite refreshed and what have you. Woke up the next day feeling like Superman. I just like felt absolutely fantastic. And from that, just every single day waking up, no headache, no symptoms, no nothing. Fitted carpets in the house, cut the edges, done all sorts of things, you know, just completely flipped 100% the other way.
Thank you, Dan. So that's a wonderful story, isn't it? Okay, so let's just pray for people now. What the good thing about a number of people is there's always people ill, isn't it? And this number of people, 45, 50, whatever it is, there's at least one, yeah. Maybe at least 10, I think.
They're all ill, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's right. And the funny thing is, you can even pray for someone while you're ill as well.
Right.
You know, it's a strange old subject, isn't it, huh? Yeah. But let's just do that now. So I think we're just going to get straight down to it. If you'd like someone to pray for you right now, why don't you just stand up? Okay? Why don't you guys just walk over there? Okay, so it's about half and half. We're all needed here. If there's something wrong with you, go over and stand over there. And you know what's coming. The rest of you know what's coming, don't you? Okay.
Now look. We're scared. It's suddenly getting really ill.
Yeah, listen. This is a pretty sick church. No, let's just come and pray for people, shall we? Now, what I'm going to suggest is that we actually pray guy to guy, girl to girl. It's much safer that way, basically. You know, sometimes you have to break that rule, but it's usually a rule because it's a good guideline. So why don't you just go up to someone? Why don't you just take them a few yards away? In fact, definitely do that because someone will have to come back and pray a second time, I think. Why don't we just get up, go guy to guy, girl to girl. Just since you've found someone, just take them away a few yards. Ask them what's wrong, and then just pray, just to command the sickness and pain to go, and then ask them how they're doing. Okay, let's do it.
Find a space, guys.
Okay, the rest of you, sorry ladies, there's obviously more ladies here. But listen, we will get back to you very soon, okay? Once you finish praying with someone, come back for round two.
For prayer.
Yeah. Fine, let's do it. You do it.
Yeah.
Go on, you pray for this lady here. Or whoever you want to.